Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
And welcome to Sex, Addiction, Hope, Strength, and Recovery. This is a show where we specifically talk about sex addiction and what you can do to make your life better. And, you know, I'm a personal life coach as well as a psychotherapist of about 33 years. And about 4 years ago, I decided that I was going to learn more about sexual addiction, because what I knew to be true was that I could help people to a certain extent that had this issue of sexual addiction. But after that, I knew that they really needed something much more than I could give them. And so I decided to get some training, and I trained with ITAP, which is the Institute for Addiction. And it was specifically founded by Dr. Patrick Carnes, who, if you step into it, you know that this intro is going to tell you, hey, I got to tell you, if you've been dabbling with any kind of addiction, it means that there are certain things that you have to do to get healthy. And to do those things required specialized treatment. And that's when I said, okay, what am I going to do to help people with this problem? I was seeing more and more of it in my practice. And I knew what I was doing was helping them to a certain extent, but it wasn't taking them to that next level. So, 10,000 hours and about $10,000 later, I graduated from ITAP and had the privilege of working with Dr. Patrick Carnes, an amazing man who obviously had these similar issues, worked on figuring out what would work, has spoken all over the country about what needs to happen, and has developed a recovery task model that has been instrumental in changing the lives of lots of people. So tonight, what we're going to be talking about is first and second order change. And for anybody who has this issue, you know that you've been kind of living in a world of denial. That's part of the addiction. Any addiction that you have is going to take you to that level of secrecy where you begin to create rationalizations, and you will minimize your behavior and you'll justify it and you'll find every conceivable reason to have a motivation to stay with addiction. Now, a lot of people have issues with the term sexual addiction. They actually don't believe that sexual addiction is an addiction, in part because they don't believe there are any withdrawal symptoms. And there are clearly withdrawal symptoms. Anybody who has this issue has tried to stop in the past, has told themselves that they weren't going to do it anymore, and without the proper treatment, has gone back to not only practice the same behaviors, but they've progressed to an area where they're actually experiencing worse behaviors than they did before they stopped. That's very similar to drinking, using substances, overeating, overspending. And in part, I want to say it's not a matter of willpower. It is not your willpower that has kept you from recovery. It's that you haven't had the proper infrastructure. Now, the harder addicts try to stop their addictive behaviors, the worse things get. In other words, if you've been one of those people who have tried to stop, you've been leading a double life. And you've been spending more time by yourself, in part because you've had to. You've had to continue the behavior. And I want you to know that this program has been developed to help you to figure out what it is you need to do to stop. If you have this issue, feel free to give me a call. Get a pen and paper, get out your cell phone, and put in the number 646-595-3284. That's the number whereby you can anonymously call to ask questions, to share your story, and to get the help that you absolutely deserve. That's what this program's all about. If I change the life of one person, I've done my job. And what I know to be true is that there are many of you listening. I can see that by how many hits I have on this radio talk show. And so I know that there's an interest there. There are people that want to change. They may be afraid to call. I get that. Everybody wants to be anonymous, and that's why 12-step programs have been so important and essential in the recovery process of sexual addiction. But don't be afraid to call 646-595-3284, because I'm telling you, this is an opportunity to ask your questions, to share what you're dealing with, and know that when you do share those things, other people will call or will hear the same questions that you've asked and will benefit from not only the questions, but the answers. You know, I said that this is an addiction of isolation, and I can't tell you how many people have shared their stories with me and said, you know, I missed my son's volleyball game. I missed my daughter's graduation because I made up an excuse and I stayed home and I looked at internet porn. Or it gave me an opportunity to meet with my fifth affair of the week so that I could have ongoing sex and remain anonymous and try to meet that high that I've been looking for to combat my pain. See, what we really believe with sexual addiction is that many people have experienced trauma in their childhood and they've medicated by reenacting the trauma. And what that means is that you may have experienced sexual abuse yourself, or uncomfortable sexual exploration, or you may have experienced some sort of physical or verbal abuse. And for whatever reason, you found that if you masturbated, or if you took advantage of somebody, or if you acted out sexually, or if you became a voyeur, if you got on Facebook and looked at the lives of other people, and then that progressed to getting on internet porn, and you spent hours watching that porn, you are actually self-soothing. You're self-soothing something that has probably been an issue in your life. Now, again, what we do know about internet porn specifically is if that is your issue, then more than likely, you may or may not have had a trauma. You know, it's a habit disorder. When people haven't had a trauma but they started looking at porn, it can become very, very addictive. And they're medicating some feelings, but they aren't medicating trauma. So you have to ask yourself, which group am I in? Am I in the group where I absolutely have experienced trauma and I'm self-soothing and making myself feel better by acting out sexually? Or have I created such a habit that it has become a compulsion and I need to do it more and more and more? And it has nothing to do with trauma or abuse. It has to do with not being able to stop a condition. Again, that number is 646-595-3284. Now, the painful reality of your experience is that there are so many negative consequences that have occurred because of your sexual addiction. You have pulled out of relationships. You have created a focus that's unhealthy. You have withdrawn from normal responsibilities in your life. And as a result of that, you know, what we know to be true is that you feel like you pulled it off. You've created this chaos, and you 100% believe that you have gotten past other people and that no one else realizes that you have a problem. And that may be true, because for a certain amount of time, anybody can create secrecy and get away with anything. But as this disease or disorder continues, what you'll begin to realize is that it becomes more and more out of control, and you'll feel a sense of powerlessness to change your behavior. And the addiction will actually take control of you. And so I'm asking you to take a realistic look at yourself and ask yourself whether you have said to yourself that nobody else is going to know that you have this addiction. Or maybe you've said to yourself, you know, I don't need help. I can change this by myself. It may be that you feel like you work best by yourself and absolutely believe that no one is hurt by this behavior. As long as your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband doesn't know you have the problem, it's not hurting anybody. And I'm here to tell you that anytime you have pulled out of your relationships and you become obsessed with this compulsion, it has devastating effects on everybody else. It has effects on your kids, on your family, on your work, and most importantly, it has devastating effects for your self-esteem. And if you got honest with yourself, you'd realize that. And you would more than likely want to seek professional help. Now, when you get that help, you realize that you are powerless to change without the help of others. And that there really are events that you cannot control. And that the damage has rippled down to other people. And that your behavior has disconnected you from yourself. You know, it was an interesting experience when I trained with Dr. Carnes. I'm addicted to work. I love working. I love my clients. I enjoy the work that I do. And I'm an excessive person. I do everything with excess. And so when I saw Dr. Carnes, you know, I was sharing with him that I'd never been through any abuse and, you know, oh, there might have been some neglect in my childhood. I mean, don't we all have childhood issues? And he asked me, he goes, now, Carol, how many clients do you work with a week? And I said, well, anywhere from 50 to 60. I run groups, and I have a private practice and I work for an agency, and they expect a lot out of me. And the woman next to me said, oh my gosh, if I worked for an employer that expected me to see 40 people a week, which my employer did, I would call that malpractice. And I thought about what she said, and I did kind of believe her, that working with 40 people a week puts too much strain and pressure on the brain. And then, on top of that, I knew that I saw my own private practice. And so I started thinking about that, and Dr. Carnes said to me, you know, when you do something that compulsively, it affects your brain, and when you affect your brain, you do permanent damage. Well, I shouldn't say permanent. Really, the neurocircuitry that occurs whenever you have any kind of addiction, if you think of your porn addiction or your drug addiction or your alcohol addiction, you'll learn that it takes about 3 to 5 years to reprogram the brain. And so, okay, if I have a work addiction, same thing is true. So he said it hurts your brain. It 100% takes you out of the relationships that should be focal in your life. And you're not as good of a therapist as you think you are. Well, I explained to Dr. Carnes, oh, Dr. Carnes, I go out with my husband. We've been married 12 years. We have date nights. We spend time together. We sit on the couch and watch TV. I mean, we don't have a Brady Bunch life, but in the same respect, we spend a lot of time focusing on each other. And I go, oh, and I have girlfriend night, and I get out with my girlfriends, and that's a regular. I prioritize that. And he said, you know, when you see 8 clients a day, 8 to 10, your brain doesn't have time to rest, and you come home being more exhausted than you think you are. And that was that denial I was in. So I get that we all have different experiences in our life that require that we make a second order change. And boy, the exhilaration you can feel from second order change when you realize and recognize you have a problem and you take it that next step is phenomenal. And that's why when people get with certified sexual addiction therapists, people that have been trained, that know what they're doing, that expedite this process, and they get into some great 12-step groups, whether that be Sex Addicts Anonymous or Sexual Addictions Anonymous or Couples for Sexual Addictions Anonymous, whatever group best meets that specific need, you're going to get the most help. You're going to get the most structure, and you are going to make a difference in your life. And so what Patrick Carnes advised me to do was to get into a Workaholics Anonymous group. Now, I got back from my training, one of my 4 modules that I had to take, and I got on the website, and I looked up Workaholics Anonymous, and lo and behold, there were no meetings available in Indianapolis. And so I shared with my husband what Dr. Carnes had said, and he goes, oh my gosh, Carol, you mean you are going to have to start a group to get this thing going? And I said, yeah, isn't that ironic? Again, I'm going to have to work harder than the average person. Now, here's what I know to be true for you. There are SA and SAA groups all over the country. And if you live in a rural area that doesn't have those groups, you can Google telemeetings for sexual addiction. And you have no excuse not to be part of a meeting, because even in the telemeetings, they have them 7 days a week. You dial in at certain times. You have a number, a PIN number that you enter in, and voila, you are in a 12-step meeting. And you can participate or you can choose just to listen. But regardless, it gets you where you need to be. Because what you really have to do is get out of that state of denial that all addicts are in. And at some point, you need to make a full disclosure. A disclosure to your loved ones of what you've done and what you're going to do to rectify the situation. Now, if you've been in other 12-step meetings, you know that their motto is, you don't make amends if it's going to hurt the person. But if you're in a one-on-one relationship with somebody, disclosure is very, very important. And there is a whole specific way to do that. We're going to devote a whole show to that. It's not anything that you should just do on your own because it can have devastating effects. You need to Google it. You need to read books on it. You need to find a therapist who can help you with it. If there isn't a therapist in your town that has a certification, you know, you can always Skype a certified sexual addictions therapist. There are many of us that Skype. And if you're one of the people that you don't have access to the internet because your internet privileges have been taken away or you've made the decision not to put yourself in that situation, there are very structured ways that you can, with the help of another accountability person, get on the internet, talk with somebody like me, and learn more about what a disclosure is all about. You have to create support networks. You cannot do this on your own. Give me a call at 646-595-3284 if you have any questions about how to do this. Remember, when you ask the question, you're asking the question for many other people that are afraid of getting on this line. But I always tell people, I say, don't be afraid. I mean, you can be anonymous. And if you're worried about somebody recognizing your voice, if they're listening to this show, I guarantee you, they've got this problem too. And so you might as well get the help you need and help somebody else in the process. Now, what you have to learn how to do is to become integral with your being. That means you have to develop integrity. And you have to figure out how to work what we call a damage control plan and seek the help of others. You know, it's time for you to get out of the chaos, which has been your norm. Stop thinking in grandiose terms and stop living that double life that you've lived as an addict. And when you do, your life gets better. You'll certainly experience some withdrawal and deprivation. There is no doubt about it. But if you have that infrastructure in place, you'll have other things to substitute for the craziness that you've experienced. Now, I'm a big believer in bibliotherapy. I believe that books are so important in getting you the information that you need, and that hopefully they'll take you to that next level where you find ways of interrelating with people, being around other addicts that are in recovery, that have been there, who don't judge you, so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So think about your own life for a minute. And think about what efforts you've made to control your behavior. When have you said to yourself, okay, this is it. I'm going to stop visiting prostitutes. I'm going to stop having multiple affairs. I'm going to stop looking at cybersex. I'm going to stop looking at internet porn. Think about how many times that you have wanted to stop your behavior. And if you can, put down a date. Write it out. When did you do it? And how long do you think that effort lasted? When you're doing it solely by yourself, I guarantee you, it will not get better on its own. And as I promised you earlier, when you stop and then you start, it becomes worse. And that is an indicator that you have true sexual addiction. Now, you may have dabbled with a 12-step program, or you may have talked with a therapist. You know, I was just working with a couple the other day, and they worked with a Christian counselor who didn't have expertise in sexual addiction, and she wanted to facilitate a disclosure. The wife wanted to know everything. And the wife found out that there had been hundreds of partners in her husband's life. And she didn't have the proper support. She didn't have somebody with her to help support her. She didn't have a group that she could go to help support her. And this woman was absolutely devastated. It probably did irreparable damage. She has not felt the same about her husband. She thought she'd feel better when she knew everything. But the information was so devastating that she can't look at her husband in the same way. What have you done? Who have you talked to about this problem? And did you find that it helped, or did you find that in actuality it made things worse? Without the proper structure, it can very easily make things worse. Here this man was trying to come clean with his wife for the very first time in his life, but because the protocol wasn't set up for him to do it, because the proper supports weren't put in place, it devastated both of them. Now, he does feel better. I must confess that he does feel better because he wanted to get it off his chest. He didn't want to tell her, but when she wanted to know, he was much relieved that he could actually share all the secrets so that he had nothing at all left to disclose. Now, what I want you to think about with your sexual addiction is, what are the problems that your sexual addiction has caused? And I want you to write that problem list down. If you've ever wanted a book that would help you to organize your feelings, your thoughts, and your beliefs about your compulsive behavior, the best book ever is Facing the Shadow by Patrick Carnes. He does this book that is a workbook that will help you to start your sexual and your relationship recovery. But he does mandate that you have to be able to write down honestly what are the problems that this has caused. So I'm going to ask you to do the same. Create a problem list. You know, maybe it took you away from your family. Maybe it cost you thousands and thousands of dollars. Maybe it gave you a sexual disease. Maybe it detached you from your wife or your husband. Maybe you hate yourself for how you've acted. It has lowered your self-esteem and you don't believe that you're worth anything. Write down every conceivable problem that you can think of. Because once you've identified what your problem list is like, it'll allow you to think through each of the problems that you've listed in an organized and logical way. And when you do that, you're able to walk out of denial. And when you walk out of denial, you're able to get the help you need. So it's the beginning of the start of the rest of your life. And that is so important when moving out of addiction and moving into good mental health. So I'm going to give you just a few seconds to write down. I will write down the problems that this sexual addiction has caused. Or if you don't want to call it sexual addiction, call it obsessive behavior, compulsive behavior. It's all the same thing. And you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com, and I'll help you with that problem list. And we'll get you to the right therapist in your area. You know, if you go to www.sexhelp.com and you put in your own zip code or city and state, it will give you the therapists that are closest to you, that have been certified, that have studied this problem, and that have probably helped hundreds of people. And if you want to begin to listen to these shows, maybe you're just tuning in for the first time, you can go to iTunes, put in Sexual Addiction with Carol the Coach, and you'll be able to subscribe free to the show, and you'll get all of my podcasts that I've done. I've probably done about 6 or 8 of them at this point. I've just started doing the show. If you want other types of mental health help, you can go to Your Best Life with Carol the Coach and catch up with about 40 shows that I've done. But this is definitely a niche where I know that people, they're not sure where to go to get the help, and that's why I created the show, Hope, Strength, and Recovery with Carol the Coach.
Carol the Coach, sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach, compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people. Every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just, for me, has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better, and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
And this, again, is that radio talk show where you can call in 646-595-3284 and ask your questions. Anything that you need to do, we are here to help you. We're certified sexual addictions therapists, and I have been interviewing some of the experts in the field, so I hope that you'll tune in every Monday night at 9 o'clock, or subscribe to the podcast, which, as I said, you can go to iTunes, put in Sexual Addiction with Carol the Coach, and get all the shows for free and find out what the experts in the field are saying about your issues. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you know that there are 10 types of sexual addiction. And you may be saying to yourself, well, I don't touch people, or I don't molest kids, or I don't call and leave nasty messages. And that may be true, but if you compulsively think about sex and you isolate yourself from others and you are not relating to people in the same way that you did before, you more than likely have a problem with sexual addiction. And there is a test called the SAS. It's Sexual Addiction Survey Test. And it will help you to determine whether you do indeed have a problem. I mean, if you've had severe consequences because of your sexual behavior, or perhaps you've struggled with depression, and it appears related to sexual acting out, those are called collateral indicators, and they indicate that you do have some sort of a problem that requires some professional help. If you've had a history of sexual abuse, or physical abuse, or emotional abuse, or if you're using sex as a way to medicate your feelings, take your mind off of your feelings, you probably need some specialized assistance. Lots of people have consistently and persistently pursued high-risk or self-destructive behavior. I mean, I've worked with teachers who have looked at porn on site at schools. I've worked with men who were bellboys at hotels, bellmen, and they have masturbated in other people's rooms or used hotel rooms for sex with coworkers. If you have other addictions and find that you need those addictions to lower your inhibitions so you can act out sexually, you probably have a problem with sexual addiction. I know that a lot of the men that I've worked with have pursued partners, and their partners had fathers who were sexually addicted. I mean, this is no accident. We magnetize to us partners that are familiar with this situation on some level. You know, if you're in crisis, I worked with a man who was eating dinner with his family, and the SWAT team came and interrupted his dinner because he had inadvertently, I really do believe that to be true, downloaded 2 pictures of child porn amongst his thousands of pictures. And it only takes one picture to convict you of child pornography. If you feel extreme self-loathing because of your issues, those are all indicators that you more than likely have a sexual addiction. Now, the question is oftentimes asked, do people ever recover? Well, I'm a 100% believer that the answer is yes. You know, as with any addiction, it never goes away, but it can be adequately managed. And in the big book, it tells you that if you work a program that's solid, that supports you, that has a lot of social support with expert therapists, your cravings will go away. And can you imagine a life that was free of cravings? Addicts can absolutely learn to live a happy, joyous, and free life, but they have to maintain the infrastructure to make that happen. And, you know, out of the shadows is a way for you to do your own work. And, you know, you may just need a therapist in a 12-step group. I have a client right now who came in, said he was doing fine, and I'll be doggone if he didn't have 4 relationships going on the side. And I knew there was a problem because he wasn't working his 12-step group. His work had gotten really busy. He's a CEO of a company, and he didn't have time to attend 12-step meetings. And as a result, he veered away from those healthy behaviors. And that's where the addict will get you. You start veering away from what you need to do to promote good sexual health, and the addict will take over, and the secrets will come back in, and pretty soon your life will become unmanageable. Now, sometimes sex addicts become sexually anorexic. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe you have resisted getting into any kind of sexual behavior. You've been afraid to have relationships. You avoid sexual contact. Or maybe you've even done something we call egodystonic, which means that you are repulsed by any kind of sexual behavior. And you don't in any way, shape, or form incorporate that into your life. If that's the case, we call that sexual anorexia. And sexual aversion affects your work, it can affect hobbies, your friends, family, and your primary relationship. And that is unhealthy, just as sexual addiction is. And sometimes people who are sexually addicted go back and forth from sexual addiction to sexual anorexia. And when they're sexually anorexic, they feel safe. But in actuality, what they're doing is avoiding their sexual feelings. And most people can't do that forever. And even if you did, that's not healthy sexual behavior. So it requires, again, that you get some real help. And, you know, it may be that you might even need inpatient treatment. But we always start with the least intrusive. And that is a good certified sexual addiction therapist and 12-step groups. So now, I don't know about you, but most people, they don't get very good information about sex to begin with. And that, coupled with the stats that one out of every three females is sexually abused and one out of every 10 males is sexually abused, those are reported cases. We know that's probably quadrupled what the actual cases are. When you don't get good information about sex and you've been sexually abused, you become a prime person for developing some sort of sexual addiction. Now, think back to your past. Were there times in your life where you actually thought about or obsessed about sex? Or maybe your euphoria and your thrill was in preparing for the sex. Maybe it wasn't the sex as much as it was the preparation. Do you get confused and think sex is love? Or are you one of those people that you never fall in love? You can have sex, but you never fall in love. You never form those attachments. Because all those behaviors can lead to sexual addiction. And they can be devastating to your psyche. You see, there's this addiction cycle. And the addiction cycle works the same for overeating, drinking, substance abuse. It is actually where you create a cycle that feeds itself. You know, in 1983, Dr. Carnes wrote Out of the Shadows. And what we know to be true is that most people that have sexual addictions come from very rigid, disengaged families where sex was not discussed, where abuse was very likely, if nothing else, neglect occurred. And the person basically felt very bad, felt like an unworthy person. They didn't feel like anybody would love them. And since they felt unworthy and no one would love them, they really never identified their strengths inside. If you've listened to my show before, you know that part of good self-esteem means that you understand what your strengths are. And when you don't understand your strengths, then it's hard for you to get your needs met. And deep down inside, you probably had this feeling that your needs were never going to get met. And for a lot of people, sex is their most important need. So that they combine the feeling that sex was their most important need with they would never be able to depend on another person who really knows or wants to give that to them. And that would start this recipe for desperation and disaster. So the belief system would create impaired thinking and would start the addictive cycle, which would become unmanageable. And most people then would get very preoccupied with sex, and they would create rituals that would be, if you will, the foreplay for their acting out. And then, of course, they'd become sexually compulsive, and then they'd feel really, really bad about themselves, and then they'd want to medicate by doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Now, if this sounds like you, and if you've let sex interfere with your life, maybe you've had, maybe you've lost a family business, or you've lost a job, or you've had certain situations whereby you've gotten pregnant and aborted, or you've gotten sexual diseases and you haven't told your partners, or you've had multiple affairs which have resulted in multiple divorces, maybe you've even become suicidal because you felt like your life was so messed up. You spent money on sex when you didn't have money for utilities. Or you stayed in a marriage despite the fact that there was destructive sex. You've lost promotions. Or you were constantly late for work. Or you're sleep deprived because you stayed up all night looking at cyber sex. These are all collateral indicators for sexual addiction. So if you will, based on Out of the Shadows, I'd like for you to list some unmanageable moments when you knew they were sexually related and you couldn't control the behavior. That combined with the problem list I asked you to describe earlier will help you to realize that you really do need some help. And maybe you've gotten help, but it didn't help. And so you thought there is no help. But I'm here to tell you, with a good therapist and the proper 12 steps, there is absolutely, absolutely help that will make your life different. Because, you know, with sexual addiction, there are emotional consequences. There are physical consequences, spiritual consequences. Now, you may go, spiritual consequences, what do you mean? Well, most people that have an addiction feel spiritually empty. They don't have any faith. There's an anger or rejection of a higher power. You know, you may feel you've been abandoned by God, or you just don't believe in God at all. You've abandoned God. You know, spiritual connection is so important. Even if you're agnostic, even if you're atheist, you have to believe in the betterment of mankind. You have to believe that you're here for a reason, and it's not to suffer. One of my coaching principles is that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. When you're in full-blown sexual addiction, suffering is unmanageable. It is there. When you get into the right program and when you get the right help, you realize that the suffering gets better and better and better. And that's my promise to you. So I would highly recommend that you get on the internet and get a book, the big book, for sexual addiction, either SA or SAA, and read it from cover to cover. It'll talk about people's stories, what they've been through, how they found recovery. And it will help you not to feel alone. And then it will go over the 12 steps and the principles behind those so that you can see why this program has been essential to the recovery of millions of sexual addicts. And you'll realize you aren't alone. There is help out there. But you can't piecemeal it. You've got to have a structured approach. And as I said before, you can always email me at carolthecoach@AOL.com to ask questions, to get to the right person in your own state, in your own country. And through the use of telemeetings, through the use of reading, getting into the proper support groups, getting with the right therapist, your life will change. That's a guarantee. But it won't change until you work it, because it doesn't work until you do. And so that's the good news. You may feel powerless today, but you don't have to feel powerless forever. You can 100% change your life by changing what you do in it. So I would highly recommend that you read Out of the Shadows. Get the book Facing the Shadows by Dr. Patrick Carnes. Go to www.sexhelp.com. Find a therapist in your area. Get the big book for sexual addiction. Take a look at it. I know this sounds like a lot of reading. Get the audiobooks if you need to. Get the e-books. But the more you work it, the more it works. And this is a devastating illness that won't get better unless you work it. And you got to work it to completion. And there are treatment programs out there. If you need something more intensive, we can get you to the right place. Don't hesitate to do that. And, you know, you can look at my own website, which is www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach, and read the stories that my clients have written for the website. They're all in recovery. Most of them are doing well. Some of them don't. Some of them slip and relapse, but most of them are doing really, really well, or they wouldn't have the confidence to write the stories, the principles, to give the guidance that they do. And I can always hook you up with somebody who can encourage you to get to the right meeting. That's the beauty of this program. That 12 steps says that people are supposed to act in service and help you in your own despair. So no matter where you are in your compulsiveness, no matter where you are in your sexual addiction, there is always somebody there to help. And I can highly recommend enough getting yourself a sponsor as soon as you get into those groups. You know, look for somebody who's got something that you want and then ask them to be a sponsor. And, you know, that can be a tough situation. I mean, I have clients that they put it out there, they've said, I need a sponsor, and nobody has responded. And I tell them it's like dating. You may have to do it 5 or 6 times before God brings to you the right person to be with you. And you know what? Sometimes it isn't the right person. But it's always information that makes you stronger and guides you in a different direction, the direction that you need to be in. So, this is your last opportunity for calls. And again, that number is 646-595-3284. We got about 5 more minutes left in the show. This is your show to get the help that you need. You know, this is a relatively new field. I say that I'm a pioneer in this field because there just aren't that many certified sexual addiction therapists, although I want to say there's about 1,600 of us. Maybe I'm even underestimating. But you, too, are a pioneer in the field because you haven't had a lot of opportunities to get the help you need. And really, in the last decade or two, people have put together programs that are astounding. They're phenomenal. The Meadows in Arizona, you know, the Ranch, Keystone Center. I mean, there are so many good centers available to help people. So, you know, sometimes that's what you need. You need to get out of your environment and get in an intensive experience to help you with your situation. So, as I end every show, you know, I tell people, there will only be one of you at all times. And I fearlessly want you to have the courage to be yourself, to do the work, and to live your life to the fullest. We will see you next week. And we have an expert in the field. I'm very excited to be working with so many great people. I cannot emphasize enough the experts that have written books, that are running programs, and making major, major changes in the world of addiction. Next week we have Dr. Dennis Morrow, who actually works at Timberline Knowles Residential Treatment Center. And Dr. Morrow is going to be talking about eating disorders and addictions. So we look forward to that. What we know to be true about this field is that it's not just one addiction people suffer from. It's multiple addictions. So we hope we can help in all sorts of ways. Don't hesitate to email me, carolthecoach@aol.com. Take a look at my website, www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach. And go to the big website, www.sexhelp.com. We'll see you next week. Fearlessly have the courage to be yourself.